yes, I'm happy like many of you tonight. I thank God. Bless the Lord. Let's say this phrase together. Without Him, I would be nothing. Without Him, I would fail. Without Him, my life would be rugged like a ship without a sail. Can you say it? Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I would fail. Without Him, my life would be rugged like a ship. Like a ship without a sail, without a sail. Without a doubt, without a doubt, He is my Savior. He is my Savior. My strength, a long life's way. All home to life's way. In deep water, in deep water, He is my anchor. He is my anchor. Through faith, He'll be. My stay. I am leaning and depending on Jesus, and depending on Jesus. I'm trusting, and I know He cares. I'm just waiting for my Savior, for my Savior. I know He'll dry all my tears. Without Him, without God, I could do nothing. Without Him, I would fail. Without Him, my life would be rugged. Ship without a sail. Yes, Lord.
Praise God, Evangelist Barker. Share with us your testimony.
I praise God for deliverance and for all that God is doing in this ministry. He has done it from day one and He never ceases. I thank God for the prayers that Apostle had prayed for Sister Tabitha. She had been sick, you know, off and on with her stomach, but we was always thinking some kind of virus or something that was going on, and she would kind of just, you know, keep going on. So when your child just keep going on, you don't think it's that serious. And but we had went to the hospital. I know when she had told me, "Mama, take me to the hospital," I know she was really sick. So when we got out there, and of course it was so many people there, and they sent her back home. So she just got worse and worse, and then they was telling her about the operation she was going to need, and she was going to need insurance, and she didn't have that, and we was going to have a big down payment. We didn't have that, but I thank God for the man of God. I just thank God, Apostle, is so precious. And he was saying, Venice Walk, when you go back, God going to touch a nurse and a doctor heart. And you were thinking in the emergency room, you know, which one it was going to be. And so we went back to fill out some papers. They told us to take a paper to the emergency room and get it filled out. And when we went back there, God did touch a nurse heart. They said, "Well, let me just go ahead and evaluate you again." And I was telling them what we had came for. She said, "Yeah, but just leave her back here." And God touched it, and an older doctor, he came, and he was saying, "We're going to do something about her today." And I thank God for that, because what had happened, she had gallstones. And they had went to the wrong place or something, but it infected her whole body. And so then she had a hernia, and it was bad, and then she had a tumor. And I was like, "Oh, my God, all of this." But I just thank God for Apostle. You know, because when your child is sick, you can go on yourself. But when your child's sick and they're telling you that about your child, you just, you know, kind of grip yourself. But I thank God for Apostle Mills, because I was able to just be so excited and tell her, "Okay, tell them we're going to do this and that and get it done." And so after the surgery, the doctor has said that he said she was really messed up on the inside, because where they had escaped to, it just ran the wreck over her whole body. And thank God, he said her gallbladder just wasn't no good at all. And he was saying the hernia, you're supposed to be able to stick a finger or something. He was talking about her. He said, "Well, we could stick three fingers in there." So we had to do major repair for that. And then the other surgery, you know, they said we'll come back later. But, you know, I thank God he's so good. He's so good. When Apostle tell you something going to happen, it's just going to happen. So we don't have to worry about the economical situations, anything like that. Just trust God. But what I praise God for, this man of God just wasn't like this today, y'all. He been like that forever, ever since I known him in this ministry. Because this same child had got into poison when she was little, and she was just so lifeless. We couldn't get no life in her. But this man of God wrapped her up in a sheet, put her on the roster, went for preaching the word of God. By the end of that service, God raised that child up. So see, this man of God is constantly like this all the time. And I praise God for him. I praise God for the way that God has led him. You know, because when we came into the ministry, and a lot of people didn't understand, there was so much persecution going on, and they was, you know, after him back and forth trying to take his life, but yet he stood. He stood on what God had told him. And it's been, 40 years, and yet he's still remaining standing. And a lot of things that they told him and got him about, they surfacing now. Apostle has spoken in, I think had an article in the newspaper about the homosexuality situation. So people had come out against him and said all kind of manner of evil against him. But just to show is what God said is coming to pass. And people are upset, and they taking one side in this. But Apostle Mill had in that paper that all sin was sin. Don't just harp on one sin, but all sin is sin. But I thank God for Apostle Mill standing, because sin is rampaging everywhere. And he told us all these hideous things were going to come about. But he told us to stay strong in the word of God, because the same gospel that he was preaching, people are going to be preaching that gospel everywhere. And I praise God for Apostle, because he stands in that place like Jeremiah and Isaiah. People opposed them. For 40 years, Jeremiah preached. And then look what happened. They didn't hear him, but what God said was going to come to pass. So what Apostle has said is coming to pass. But I thank God we are in such a lively ministry, because other people now are down and out, and they're wondering which way to go. But God has put the joy of the Lord in our spirit, that we can go forth and tell other people about this glorious gospel. I praise God for this man of God, because people are saying, you know, we're worshiping man, such foolishness. But look what they do to worldly leaders who can't do nothing for them. You know, I was listening to the, you know, I always getting these football people mixed up. I think it's Nick Saban. And it was exalting him for all the things that he had done. Nobody found fault in that. But when you come to the men and women of God, they got a problem with you giving honor. And this is what we're supposed to do. Because God said, if you honor a prophet, you're going to be honored. If you bless the men and women of God, his servant, you're going to be blessed. And I thank God for Apostle holding on through these years.
There's something special in our services when we have to meet in inclement weather conditions. It's just a special anointing comes when you have to just press your way. And amen. Somebody says thank you, Lord, in the house. Amen. 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 Yes, yes. Woo! Thank you. Because he first loved me, yeah, oh yeah. Because the Lord first loved me, yeah. Because he first love me. Woo! Woo!
Amen. Yes, Lord. I tell you, the joy is flowing like a river, I tell you. Amen. Thank God for this day. Yes, Lord. This has been a day of reflecting and having flashbacks and all, and I'm just elated and just over what God is doing. I'm elated over His working in our ministry and in our lives and how He has just brought us to many dangerous doors and snares, but yet we're still here. I flashed so far back till I went back to Hurricane Frederick. Now you know that was a flashback, wasn't it? And how the Lord had just led us at the time of preparing food and the and canned goods and making quilts. The ladies began to meet out on Saturday and make quilts and all. And then the night when the hurricane came, we were all prepared here to stay in the church, you know, where we were at that time. You know, while everybody else was shaking in the storm, we were shaking, praising God in the midst of the storm. Amen. 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 Thank God for the fire that's on the inside of us. Thank God for the determination. Amen. That He had instilled in us by the Spirit, His Holy Spirit. I tell you, then I thought about the other hurricane that was coming, and everybody was afraid. And it was coming on our service night. And they were I think it started with I didn't know. I didn't, Mobile would have been flooded. Our city would have been actually destroyed in the downtown area. And I said, no, we're going to have church that night. So y'all just come on out. I don't care what the meteorologist said. We're going to have church. And I said, and I done told the storm not to come here. And we just, you know, casually laughed it off. And we decided to come on out, and God led us on out here. But amazing, the meteorologists and everybody could bear witness right outside of Mobile, about from 15 to 12 miles outside of Mobile, it just turned all at once and went east and went over there and just tore up Pensacola, Florida. And we had church. We had church. Amen. Amen. I thank God. It wasn't for me to try to prove anything, but it was just, I was so interested in being in church till I just told it not to come. We go have service, and we had service. Amen, amen. Those of you that know God, you can say things just like I could say things. Amen. You're gifted. Those that are gifted, be gifted. Exercise your gift. And I'm telling you these things so you would have courage to do so. Amen, amen. Now, if you can accept being strange, you know, you could really do a great work, because, see, the world don't understand you when you're walking in the will of God. Amen. It's written there in 1 Corinthians about how the worldly man cannot understand the things that be of God. It's only revealed to us by the Spirit. And Jesus said that when the Holy Ghost come, He'll come upon you. And He said, well, the world don't even know Him. So they can't discern it. But thank God for the Holy Spirit that sets us apart. Amen. And we are strange to the world. And that's all right. Be strange to the world. We're not going to stay here. This is not a permanent dwelling. None of us are going to stay here. It's all going to be changed. Amen. Amen. Yes, 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 yes. Amen. It's a new heaven and a new earth waiting. Amen. Amen. On the fullness of time, God. Amen. It's going to fulfill all things that He had said. Hallelujah. I'm just carried away even more. I'm just thinking and praising Him. I came in probably near the ending of Evangelist Barker's testimony. And that was very good. A little bit that I did hear But I get to the place that it almost embarrassed me to hear you all compliment me. And I didn't say don't do it. I'm going to listen to me carefully. It used to be days I was kissing early. Well, it was in the early days. I thought it looked like they ought to say something. But now you're saying it, and I'm embarrassed because I've grown to the point to know this is just God working through me. And I do. I magnify him, and I thank him for it. I do. I've learned the difference in me and in God. And in my flesh, like Paul said, I see that so emphatically where he say, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. So any good that is accomplished, that's done through me, it's God. It's not even my flesh, but it's God. It's God. My flesh is contrary to God. Flesh is empathy with God. That's what the scripture says. But I know the difference. All y'all hear me? So I just thank God for him deciding to send his spirit through me. None of us would know him if he had not called and chosen us to know him. I believe that's why that song meant so much to me. It's because he first loved me. And it didn't take us loving him back, but he just loved us as we are, as we were. Amen. Praise the Lord. And John took the pen and penned, as you look with me in the first chapter of St. John, and said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Because when Satan was created, the angelic spirits, that was a part of God's first creation. Are y'all hearing me here? And we know that the Bible tells us, if you look with me at Ezekiel, the 28th chapter, it says, Son of man, take up a limitation. I'm at the 11th or 12th verse. Upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, thou that sealeth up the psalm, and full of wisdom, and perfect in beauty, thou art the anointed cherubim that covereth. I have set thee so that thou was upon the holy mountain of God, that thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in all thy ways, from the day that thou was created at least until the day iniquity was founded in thee. As we look at the 15th verse carefully, he created Satan, Lucifer, amen, the king of Tyrus. It's called in this text here, but it's referring to Lucifer, Satan, the devil, and all in the old serpent. As all these titles go to him, but I just said. Now when he created him, he said, thou was perfect in all thy ways from the day that thou was created. He was holy, just like God. And he said, but until iniquity was founded in thee. And then the iniquity is described in the 17th verse of this 28th chapter of Ezekiel. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I would lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Now, Satan was the most beautiful of God's creation. And he was perfect. He was holy. He was sinless until iniquity was founded in him. And the iniquity that was founded in him is pride, because of his beauty. His wisdom became corrupted by his brightness because of the way that he looked. And he felt as if he could replace God. If you look at Isaiah, the 14th chapter and the 12th verse, we've seen what God said through Isaiah concerning Satan. He says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Isaiah 14:12. How art thou cast down to the ground, which thou didst weaken nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the height of the cloud. I will be like the Most High, but yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Now, if you're seeing what Satan is saying, pride and selfishness. Pride, selfishness. He says, now, in my heart, he's saying, but I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. But yet God said he's going to be brought down to the hell, to the pit there. Now, this is the world here that God created. He started out making his angel spirit in the entire creation. At the beginning of the creation, before the creation that we know as of now, amen, Satan had dominion. God had given him that authority and that place. For Jeremiah, while he was in a vision, he penned and spoke about it in Jeremiah. Look at the fourth chapter. And he looked and saw. He said, behold, the earth, the fourth chapter and the 23rd verse. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, even they had no light. This happened as a result of Satan or Lucifer, or the king of Tyre, that led a rebellion in heaven to replace God. And it was a fight, a war in heaven. And Satan and all the angels there was cast out. And they are in chains there and out of darkness. In the epistle of Jude, they make mention that the angels that left their first estate is in chains now, waiting on the day of judgment. Yet there are other angels that's loose now, and we call them demons, and they carry out the will of Satan. But Satan could not enter back into the creation unless he found a way to get in. But look at what Jeremiah said. We're going to continue to read this. He said, Jeremiah 4:23, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heaven, and they had no light. That's the darkness that Moses saw in the beginning. And then Jeremiah said, and I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. And I beheld, and lo, there was no man. All the birds of the heaven were fleed. And I beheld, and lo, the fruitful places was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof was broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger. But now this all happened in the first part of the creation of, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Now listen to me. Before he created the angelic kingdom, God had already mapped out the entire way of salvation. God had already looked and seen, and he knew all of us one by one. And he knew the timing that he would go release us to have our earthly experience. Thank God he had chosen us who are here to know him. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Now, if you look at 1 Peter, 2 Peter at least, the second chapter, he speaks about a flood. 2 Peter, the second chapter and the fifth verse. But in the fifth verse, and he's saying, God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. That Moses wrote concerning how God spoke things back into existence. You know, he said the darkness moved upon the face of the earth and the earth was void. And then God spoke it back into existence, the light, the heavens, the stars. And then he says, let dry land appear. Now, that's the flood of the day of the earth that we are a part of now. But what's so elating and what's so overwhelming in my spirit, I'm talking about God. I see him so great till I need more words to articulate what I'm actually seeing, how great God is. Can we just get a little glimpse in our mind that he knew all of this? This happened before he even created the angels. He knew. you hear me here. God is not intimidated. We sing, what a mighty God we serve. But do we have any idea how mighty our God is? He's beyond the might that we might could just comprehend in our minds. He's way beyond that. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Thank God in the house. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Bless the wonderful name of Jesus. And what gets me excited the more, he cannot be intimidated by anything. He knew what Satan was going to do. He knew Satan's wisdom would become corrupted and iniquity would be founded in him. But yet, he made him and created him anyhow to allow him to lead a rebellion against him. Oh, somebody thank God in the house. Amen with me here. Oh, what a mighty, mighty, mighty God we serve. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody said, thank you, Lord, in the house. But yet Satan was full of wisdom. But he didn't know that God was going to create man. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody said, thank you. Now, look here at John, the 17th chapter, when Jesus was nearing the ending of his earthly ministry. He was praying there at the 4th and 5th verses. Jesus said, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do, as he talked to the Father. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the foundation of the world. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now you turn to 1 Peter, and we'll see the glory that Jesus had with the Father before the foundation of the world. As Peter was the apostle to the Gentiles, and we know that he was not the Gentiles, I'm sorry, but to the Jews. And he kept trying to get them to see that Jesus is the Messiah. And as we have said, and we know it so emphatically, that they did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Are you hearing me here? So he started at the 17th verse talking about God. He says, now, and if, 1 Peter 1, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of person judges according to every man's work past the time of your sojourning here in fear. Now he's talking to the Jews in this under the covenant of the law. He says, now, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the traditions of your fathers. Now, the silver and gold, they were well aware of it, and they had seen the beautiful temple that Solomon had built. But he said, now, God didn't use any earthly material, amen, to redeem man. He said, not even your vain conversation, when you put man's thoughts and man's idea in comparison to what God says, is vain. Are y'all hearing me? It's only for a while. But God's word is eternal. Somebody said, thank you, Lord. He said, so God didn't use nothing. Are you hearing me here? That's of this world. But look at the 19th verse. But he used the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Are you hearing me here? This is before he created anything, before the angels. Look at the 20th verse. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. Now, Jews, you can depend on God. Jesus is God's son incarnated in the flesh. Are you hearing me? God incarnated in the flesh in his son, Jesus. Look at the 21st verse. Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Now, what faith and hope? How would it build our faith and hope as we look at it? This God had done before he created anything, the angels or anybody, anything. Are y'all hearing me here? Because he what? Knows all things. He knows the ending from the beginning. Woo, hallelujah. And none of us is a stranger unto God. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God. We're moving on a little further here. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Go back to John 1. Hallelujah. And it says in John 1. The third verse, all things were made by him, by the word that was with God. Are you hearing me here? And the word that is God. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The 14th verse, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. Amen. Bless God. And we know that when Jesus was born, amen, that they didn't know, all of Jerusalem did not know that he had come and that he was born at least, but the shepherds that was in the field. Go with me here at the second chapter of St. Matthew's. When the wise men came later looking for Jesus, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Then King Herod called in all of the prophets and all there and asked about this king, this child that shall be born. Well, the wise men said, we have seen the stars. Did hear God again? When he get ready to fulfill his word, he's going to do use whoever he want to use to bring it about. These wise men that saw the stars, they were astrologers or astronomers. They were studying the stars. They worshiped the stars. But they saw one star that revealed to them the king had been born. Are y'all understanding me here? And all of the children there in Jerusalem, they didn't know anything about it. But some of the prophets said, well, I believe it's over there in Micah where one was going to be born. So King Herod said, go and find the child. Come back and tell me so I can worship the king. Well, this didn't happen in 3 or 4 months. Years had transpired, because when the wise men arrived there and they found Jesus, he was in a house. He was no longer in a manger. He was no longer with a baby in the manger, but he was in the house. So some say around about 2 years old. So the wise men, instead of going back to Herod, the angel said, go another way. And then he went to Joseph. Look at the second chapter of St. Matthew's and the 13th verse. Are we going to be here? I'll tell you in a few more minutes. Some more. Amen. Praise God. It says the 13th verse. And when they were departed, Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee words. For Herod seeks to kill the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and they departed there in Egypt. All right, now, and there was at the 15th verse, he stayed there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was saying of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. The prophet had said it. You would think he was talking about Moses, but no, this is Jesus right there in Egypt. He sent him into Egypt. He grew up there. Some people said he was there in Egypt performing miracles. So he would take clay and make a bird out of clay and throw it up and start to live it. And it fascinated the children while he was there in Egypt growing up, but growing around the Egyptians. Well, it's not written as what he did, but I'm sure he could have if he wanted to, because the devil told him to turn stones into bread, and the devil knew he could do that too, you know, so he didn't do it. Are y'all hearing me here? So the child grew up there in Egypt, and finally the angel came back and told him to go back home, and he went there at Nazareth, back home there in Galilee. That's the original home. Now he had grown up, and look at John, the second chapter. We're getting ready for our miracle now. John, the second chapter, and it says, And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus was called. His disciples came to the marriage, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, They have no wine. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. But his mother said unto the servants, the fifth verse, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 foreskins apiece. Jesus said unto them, Fill the water pot with water. And they filled them to the brim. And he said unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bared it. And when they went there, the ruler of the feast, and they began to taste, the feast had tasted the water which was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servant which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom, saying unto him, Every man at the beginning set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then they bring out which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine unto now. See, because when they get drunk, you can't taste that much. So, but you brought out the better wine now. And then this, the beginning of the miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifest his glory, and the disciples believed on him. Then he went down to Capernaum, and his mother and his brother and then his disciples, and they continued there many days. But I want you to consider here the water pots. Cana of Galilee. This is a slum area. Again, poor people was there. They were having a wedding. And so the water pots would be something that this is made out of clay, but they had been used. They were cracked. You know, something had, some of the end of it had been chipped off. They've just been keeping them down through the years. And he said, go fill it with water. And he brought it, 6 of them. And you know, on the 6th day, He created Adam on the sixth day. Six water pots filled to the brim with water. Jesus told the servants, the waiters, to dip into the water pot. Nothing but water. Hadn't anything changed. But take it in there and begin to serve it. And when they were going there, it was water. When they poured it out, it was water. But when they drank it, it was wine. What a miracle. What a miracle. Y'all hear me? And the best wine they could taste. And you serving this at the wrong time. We should have had this in the beginning. But it's something about our lives if we could, that God is showing us tonight for your breakthrough. Some of us in here on the verge of a breakthrough, but we haven't gotten involved. We're waiting for another sign instead of just responding to what he had said to you in the spirit. It was still water when the servants dipped in it. It was water when they poured it in the cup. Now, I got to wait till I see it change. I ain't going to embarrass myself. Did y'all hear what I just said? All sorts of things we come into our mind to block us from those blessings and those benefits, those opportunities that God had made so clear to us. But we won't move out on it. Some of us are so scared to make a mistake. We are not God. Oh, okay. We are human. Some of us at the verge, you can go way beyond where you know it. But you're afraid. We like changes, but we don't want the responsibility that come with the change. Well, beloved, we shared with you segment of our message of our service that was held Friday night. Yes, on last night, January the 9th. And you could sense it in the spirit. God is helping you to see diverse kinds of miracles, and all took place for the glory of God. No man was drinking the wine that wasn't as good as the wine that Jesus had made of our lives. We needed Jesus to do a work in our lives that would make us better. Many are broken in various kinds of ways as a result of this wedding feast. I could see in that no matter how broken or how much trouble you've been in or how long you've been sinning nor the sins that you have committed, God can make a difference in your life through Christ Jesus. Oh, all the adverse circumstances and all that's there, God, through Christ Jesus, will make a difference. Jesus is the only way that we could come unto God and have eternal life by entering in at the door. So no matter how broken you are, no matter where you are, God will help you and he will deliver you. Call on Jesus. He will answer prayer. I'd like to say to our faithful listeners and supporters, continue the work, because there's much more things that we have in mind to do this 2015. And those of you that have heard our watch night service and you haven't seen it yet, it will be on the website. And then the Sunday service, the first Sunday of the year, it will be on the website soon also. These are things that to build your faith and confidence in God, that we can walk and live the life that God is calling for us to live in these days. So take an introspective look and think about those things that God gave you clear instructions by the Spirit to do, and you wouldn't follow through because it might would have made you look bad or it might not have worked. Things of that nature. Satan would use some of anything to keep us from breaking through. But I believe now, as the results of you listening to the broadcast today, that you and you only can look at what God had said to you individually, no matter where it was at the time. I'm just hoping that you can just get a breakthrough, that you could just trust God in that area of your life and follow through. Yes, there are some listening with opportunities that have passed where they know to keep pressing forward. But those of you that the opportunity has not passed, but you just haven't followed through, and things are still the way that they are, well, naturally, this is the time for you to follow through. You know, the men, when they dipped the water, it was still water in the barrel and water in the clay pots, water when they dipped it, and it was water when they were pouring it into the giblets or the cups that the people was drinking out of. But it turned to wine when they turned it up to their mouth to drink. So you're not going to see a lot of changes a lot of times. You would have to implement and follow through with what God had said. The 10 lepers that was cleansed, they didn't experience any cleansing before they turned to leave, but they remained a leper until they started toward the high priest. That's when the leprosy disappeared. So keep that in mind and obey God. Come out and be with us. We're located at 2621 Ralston Road, right in Mobile, Alabama, and be a part of our service. And God bless you. God bless you. Write us at Post Office Box 70, Mobile, Alabama, and our prayer line 24 hours. You may just dial the word healing and leave your request on the recorder. And if you'd like for someone to counsel with you, leave your name and number, and someone will return your call. God bless you. And out-of-town callers, we will call you Collect. We'll call you Collect. And God bless you now. Looking forward to hear from you, seeing you visiting us, and accepting your contribution, and all the marvelous things that the Holy Spirit of God would instruct you to do, the continuing the outreach of this ministry and the people's lives to be changed even more by the power of God in the name of his darling son, Jesus. Let's ask God to send a revival among us here in America that we'll be able to ward off the evil that's being perpetrated to come against us. Father, forgive us for our sins. Hear us in the name of Jesus. We ask.